Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us in this edition of BRM Brown Bag. I'm your host, Suresh GP, and I'm extremely delighted to welcome you for this World BRM Week from 6th to 12th of February. I'm so glad today to have with me John Walsh, Group Head of Technology at Finlays, joining all the way from UK. Thank you, John, for taking time today and spending some time to share with your viewers about BRM. So how are you doing? I hope you're doing well and staying safe.
Doing great, Suresh. Greetings to everyone from London in the UK. Thank you for having me, Suresh. I love your BRM Brown Bag sessions. I love what you're trying to do for BRM week, what an important week it is for BRMs and aspiring BRMs globally. Right. So looking forward to a great conversation.
Excellent. So, John, for viewers, why don't you give us a quick rundown of your experience and your interest towards BRM and what has been your experience so far?
Yeah, sure thing, Suresh. So, I have maybe 20 years experience in IT. My whole career essentially has been based in IT. An undergraduate degree in information technology and telecommunications. Right. I'm from Ireland originally, as you may guess from my accent, but I've had the great luxury of working in various locations. So my first IT role would have been with Compaq Computers in Munich in Germany.
Right.
I was then involved with a very significant merger between Hewlett-Packard and Compaq. Subsequently worked for Royal Philips Electronics in the Netherlands. And to your question, Suresh, it was around that time working for Philips Electronics, I found myself dealing with ever more senior business partners. Right. So, for example, a business unit CFO was talking to me about things like internal rate of return and expected cash flow positions based on an IT investment that we might make. And honestly, I was starting to struggle to hold the conversation. Right, there was terms being thrown around I wasn't very familiar with. And that's just one example, or with commercial teams or marketing teams and a strategy they were trying to create. Now, I struggle sometimes, as I say, to really hold the conversation or understand the context of a conversation. And as a result, I felt that I was letting down my business partners, because if I didn't fully understand what they were trying to do, how could I fully support them from a technology standpoint? Right. That was one of the reasons that led me actually to pursue an MBA. I pursued an MBA thereafter, really to add some business knowledge to my IT bow, if that makes sense, some business strings to my bow. Right. And subsequent to my MBA, I was lucky enough to get a role with PepsiCo, based in Ireland.
Right.
And PepsiCo, as you may know, Suresh, under the leadership of Tyrone Green, drove a very comprehensive BRM program. Driving that capability really across PepsiCo. And I was lucky enough to be in a BRM position with Pepsi for a number of years. And that was a great learning and growth experience for me, bringing me full circle to my current role, as you say, Group Head of Technology with Finlays. And just for people not aware, Finlays is a leading B2B coffee and tea beverage provider. We operate tea estates around the world. We provide tea and coffee extracts, products, broad portfolio to customers globally.
Excellent. So one of the themes that I wanted to discuss with you, John, is many of the times when we talk with clients, they're a traditional IT shop, right? They had primarily focused on service management, keeping the lights on, had tickets, you know, the ITIL framework in place and stuff like that. But with all this rapid digital transformation, digital initiatives, and you also talked about the commercial space, you know, what is my business partner asking to what I'm actually delivering? So our theme today would be focusing on how do you make an organization which is currently under keeping the lights on and just maintaining the status quo, or an order taker, to really, really step up the game to become more transformational and delivering more business value. So has that been your kind of experience of where do you start and how do that? Because it seems to be like a roller coaster ride to do something of that sort.
Yeah. Well, let me start by saying a shout out to everyone who works in IT operations and keeping the lights on, because it is not an easy job.
Yeah.
I often equate it to your electricity company.
Yeah.
When's the last time you phoned them to thank them for the lights being on? But if the lights go out, you're very quick to pick up the phone.
Right.
And in a way, I think that's step one. I think it's just making people aware of what IT do from a service management perspective and the very broad scope of activities that have to go into ensuring a secure, robust IT technology stack for an organization.
Right.
That's step one, because often that recognition isn't there from your business partners. They assume the lights magically stay on, but obviously we know there's work goes into that.
Right.
That's step one, to get some recognition. And then that helps to build the case that actually we're pretty maxed out as an IT team today, keeping the lights on.
Right.
So in order to do anything else, before we can even talk about transformation, do anything else, we know we have to somehow create space for the IT organization.
Sure.
Either through increasing the team, the bandwidth, if you have that opportunity, or looking at, are there other ways we can package existing work? So for example, can we, instead of having five people doing a similar role, is there an opportunity to package up some of that activity into a dedicated role, freeing up other people in the course of that? Is that more efficient? So I think that's step one, trying to create some bandwidth and space for the team.
Sure.
And then from there, I think the next step, sometimes even for a technology team, depending if it's a traditional organization, traditional IT team, the IT team themselves don't necessarily have a lot of exposure to modern technologies, modern possibilities when it comes to transformation. So I think training and development of the team is very important, making them aware, the art of the possible, we might call it. And after that, I think the last thing I ever try to do is to go and have a technology conversation with business partners.
Right.
But what I try to instill in an IT team is understand your business. Here's a simple question to think about. How does your business make money? Right? Sounds a very basic question, but not at the highest level, you know, not that we sell this or sell that, but dig a bit deeper. Understand, are you a national business? Are you a global business? What go-to-market channels do you have? What's your product portfolio? What's more profitable, less profitable? You can do that by connecting with business partners. Connect with your sales teams, your marketing teams. They're typically only too happy to share what they do as a sales organization, for example.
Yeah.
And I think that understanding is really important, because without understanding the business we operate in, it's very difficult to understand, well, where can IT potentially support that organization in moving forward? So pause there, Suresh. Education, the digital side, and the business side.
No, that's great. Now, one of the problems we see, John, is that people in IT are very technology focused. They want to do the work, so they don't feel comfortable in talking with marketing and sales and business folks. I mean, I'm doing my work, you know, I'm just doing what I'm good at it. So how do you get these people to move away from their comfort zone to become a little more uncomfortable to do that? Because that's the being a problem, because you can do as a leader, but how are you going to take the entire task force to start thinking to talk and connect with business partners? That's being a big challenge, isn't it?
It certainly is. I think the first thing is to recognize we're all individuals.
Right.
And some individuals will have a more natural interest in learning more of the business side. You'll certainly have other individuals who are quite content in terms of developing technically and then keeping their focus on that skill set.
Right.
So I think that's one thing to think about. Have a discussion with your IT team, one-on-one discussion. Understand what motivates people, what drives them.
Right.
And coming out of that, you'll typically find a couple of people, they become your secret superstars, people within the organization who have that drive, that ambition. We might call them change agents if we're a classical OCM discussion, organizational change management.
Right.
But just find people who have that interest and then point those people in the right direction. And typically what you'll find in most organizations, as you say, engaging with a sales team might be a step too far initially, but typically there is a bunch of training material accessible to internal employees about product portfolio, about markets we operate in, about customers that we try to service, how we try to do that. So maybe point your team towards some of that training material that you think might be helpful for them. It could be training material developed for a commercial team. Great. Give that to people in your IT team who are interested as a step one. And then coming out of that, again, see who's passionate about it, who's spending time really deeply understanding that. And typically, ideally, you then have those people coming to you and saying, hey, John, hey, Suresh, I'd love to learn more. What do I do next? You try to create that spark of curiosity within the team.
Excellent. So in terms of business IT strategy, we always talk about convergence. And many of the times, the business strategy is already laid out, and then IT is trying to make a catch-up game. So what do you think should be appropriate to do a business IT strategy? I mean, traditionally, IT has never earned a seat at the table. So when you start some of these conversations, where you don't get invited, some of the strategic conversations, is there a way that you can influence and get a conversation to be a part of the overall strategy formulation? What do you think should be appropriate to driving that?
Yeah, it's always a challenge, right? How do you get that seat at the table, as you call it? Some things, as from my past experience, that work. Again, try to limit talking about technology, right? Try to accept that if you want a seat at a business table, back to you need to understand the business on some level. You also, I think, need to demonstrate a desire to learn more about the business. You need to accept you don't know everything.
Correct.
You need to accept that your head of supply chain, for example, probably knows more about the supply chain than you do.
Right.
And you need to go humbly, I would say, to work with business partners and say, hey, I'm interested in learning more. Can I work with you? Can you help me to understand your business needs a little bit better?
Right.
So that then, of course, I can help you in terms of formulating an appropriate IT strategy. Right. And I think even that alone, I think going in with a bit of humbleness and accepting we don't understand the business, you are the expert in your part of the business. Right. Just that acknowledgement and giving your time, it's valuable for all of us, giving your time to say, hey, I'd love to learn a little bit more. Could I sit in on a next team meeting, for example, that you might be having, just to find out, to hear what's happening? I think that's step one. And again, as I say, as a word of advice, avoid talking about technology. Leave that to the very last minute. Just understand business needs, business capabilities, what teams are looking for. And in due course, the technology, the invitation for technology people into the room will come a lot more naturally, as long as you're part of the conversation to begin with.
Sure. And in terms of transformation roadmap that enable the strategy part of it, how do we create the transformation roadmap, right? Because that's the part of creating that blueprint on how it needs to be worked upon.
Yeah. So strategy is one thing. And then the difficult work of, okay, if that's our North Star strategy, how do we get there? What's the transformation roadmap? I think from there, it's essentially the next level of detail. So the strategy gives you your North Star vision, where we're trying to go. The roadmap, how do we get there? And that's, again, very close partnership with your business partners to understand, okay, if that's the strategy, one way to think about it is if you are to fix one thing next month, next quarter, this year,
right,
what would that one thing be? And that tends to draw out the most critical burning platform, either the biggest challenge or hopefully the biggest opportunity that an organization might have. And then once you've done that, what's the next thing that we tackle? Okay, assuming we fix that, what would we tackle next? And that, if you can talk in terms of business capabilities, what are the key capabilities we need to enable a strategy? And how would you prioritize? That's what you're trying to get to. How would you prioritize those capabilities? Not you, but with your business partner. How would your business partner prioritize? I think that's a very strong foundation for building out your roadmap to get to that end state.
I like the way that you said about business capability road mapping, because one of the times we talk about is enabling capabilities. We look at more of infrastructure, applications, support services. So we don't even talk about capabilities. There's a huge difference between services and capabilities, right? And somehow, because we are conditioned to use this word called services, we continue to cling on to that. But I love the way that you talked about building business capabilities, thinking about how do we help them to achieve some short success in the next immediate month or a quarter, so that you start building trust, getting that level of an elevation of going beyond your stated duties and then and get built around. Now, many of the times what happens, John, is that there's no sense of urgency being created, right? I mean, people don't care. I mean, something or the other will keep on coming. I mean, I am busy with my own work. You talk about strategy and other stuff. I don't care a damn about what strategy is all about. I'm just caring about what am I supposed to do from a deliverable standpoint. So how do you create a sense of urgency for people to think beyond the scope of work? You know, I tell people that as BRMs, you should be like eagles, not chickens, like looking inside. So, but it's very difficult to create that sense of urgency for people to step up and say, so how do you condition them for creating that sense of urgency? Because they are in their own sweet world and they don't really care about what's happening on the other side.
Yeah, I think if you're privileged enough to be in an IT leadership position, I think it behoves us as IT leaders, first and foremost, to create that sense of urgency. And some of the ways that can help with that are get a handle on your competition. This is also about understanding the business you're in and who's your competition. And sometimes there, you can find very easily publicly available information in terms of what is your competition doing. Okay, so you might see, for example, that a competitor is making the news because of a latest digital innovation that they've delivered, just as an example. Yeah. Take that to your IT team meeting, put it up in front of people and have a group discussion on that. Have a discussion about, do we want to be in a position where we have our competitor making front page news for their digital transformations? Or would you like to be in a position where we are the front page news driving that type of transformation? Sure. And then a discussion, because it's a bit of a no-brainer, right? People would like that recognition. And then have a discussion about, okay, how do we create that sense of urgency? Why should it be urgent for us? Well, our competition is doing this. Is the competition outperforming us? Probably in that example, right? There's one sense of urgency. Another way of looking at it is if you have working with business partners, if you find specific burning platforms, bit of a cliche, but if there's an issue, recurring issue today, for example, that needs to be addressed, again, business partners can be, of course, your very good friend in this, in helping to articulate the business criticality of something in order to get that addressed. And the trick there, again, is having that trust, as you mentioned, in the business partner. So they trust to come and talk to you about this issue that they're having. And they trust that you can then help to create that sense of urgency, instill that sense of urgency in the IT team. And last but not least, I think rapid proof of value is very important as well. So if you can get some low-hanging fruit, get a small part of the IT team involved with the right business partners to deliver value, deliver an outcome quickly, you start almost this flywheel of momentum, I think, in terms of driving continued improvement and continued success as we move forward as an organization.
Excellent. So how do you evolve this culture? Because one of the things is, like Peter Drucker says, like culture eats strategy for breakfast. So if I'm going to look at a cultural shift, because we have traditionally worked in a certain model and now we are trying to step up the game to have the think tank time, look at how do we contribute to the overall success of the organization, to overall success of the business partner. How do you make that shift and how do you get everybody onboarded towards that transformation journey from a culture perspective? Because it's a very difficult thing because people have been doing this for years now. And suddenly you're trying to do a facelift of the whole transformation and culture becomes a very big bottleneck. How do you handle
that? Yeah, you're absolutely right, Suresh. It can be a big challenge, a big transformation needed. Yeah, and we won't get philosophical about what is culture. I know there's differing points of view. I just describe it as how work gets done. Okay, right. How does work get done in a particular organization or part of the organization? So how do we do work in IT? You know, is it a collaborative culture? Is it more individualistic? Do we help each other out? Do we share information? Are we more protective of information? And in terms of how you influence a culture, what has worked for me is always an open discussion and not one-on-one, more of a group discussion to begin with.
Sure.
How would we describe our culture today? Just brainstorm it, whiteboard it. Right, you're not writing, you're listening to team feedback, you're listening at words being thrown out there, and try to agree, okay, are the top four or five words, values, principles that we might all roughly agree this kind of describes us today.
Sure.
And then for each of those, have a discussion about what future do we want to create.
Right.
Have a brainstorming, blue sky thinking session. If you are starting, I find an interesting exercise with teams can be the business you're in. Imagine you're a startup going to do exactly the same thing. You're going to compete in the same space. You're going to make the same products or services as the business you're in. If you were CEO of that business, how would you shape a culture for your startup?
Right.
Blue sky thinking. And that can be one way to help people unshackle the history, the embedded history, as you say, of how a team works today. It can be a creative session to get people thinking. And the other thing that helps with, of course, is it's no one dictating culture. You cannot dictate culture. But if you have the team together coming up with their own ideas, because typically everyone is very good at identifying inefficiencies in terms of how things work today.
Right.
It's inefficient if we don't share information. It's inefficient if we're not connecting with business partners to understand really the needs of the business. And you will normally hear this coming out of teams. And in my experience, typically it's something very welcomed by teams, because how often have you had a discussion about culture and about transforming culture?
Sure.
So as long as you do it in the right way and involve the whole team, that's my advice on it, and try to create a shared vision of where you want to go with culture moving forward.
Excellent. My final question would be, what's your suggestion for future of the Adams? How do you think the IT's role is going to be pivotal to create more business value? What do you think we should do if we are part of IT as an IT value chain? What should we be thinking about to create more business value for our business partners and for our organization at whole, so that we elevate our level from being tactical to become more strategic partner to the business?
Let me quote Steve Jobs, one of the greatest innovators that we've ever seen. I love Steve's phrase, stay hungry and stay foolish.
Right.
So I think for any BRM, stay hungry in terms of your thirst for knowledge. And back to my initial point that we're talking about, Suresh, that understanding of the business that you're operating in. Stay hungry, look for training material, gently force your way in, or not so gently force your way into team meetings from a commercial point of view, if that's what you're looking after, manufacturing, if that's what you look after. Really trying to get to know those teams, keep learning, keep growing, keep developing. Stay foolish. I take that in a BRM context as be open to innovation. Read a lot, continue to develop yourself, and think about, you often find some of the best value creation for a business is taking an idea that was created somewhere else in another industry, and back to Steve Jobs and Apple, this is what he did very well, actually. Sure. You know, it's taking an idea that's out there, but refactoring it, reforming it in the context of your organization and your business. And again, you can't do that without deeply understanding your business. I think that's very important. And I think what's equally important is working with business partners to create clear business cases that are focused on business outputs and business outcomes. Because too often I fear that you might be running a project, but there hasn't, not enough thought has gone into how we define value and how we measure value delivery through that project. Sure. And I think that's vitally important as well, because if you get that right, and I know from a BRM perspective, the BRM Institute do a lot of great work in terms of value definition frameworks, get that right, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that you get to seat at the table. Because if you're consistently delivering value in a measurable way back for business partners, what business partner would not want a value generating engine or person at their table in strategic discussions? So I'd leave your audience with that thought, all about value.
Thank you so much, John. It has been a real pleasure to have some nuggets of wisdom in that short time. And I'm sure that people will really appreciate some of the candid feedback and some practical insights of turning IT from being just being a shop at the background to be at the forefront to deliver business value. Thank you so much, and wishing you a great BRM week ahead.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Suresh.